Now give me 4 tablespoons of ballin' Memphis guitars. It's gonna taste all right.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Food Talk Show. My name is Margaret Scully and you are tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM. Each week on this show, I talk to food producers, chefs, farmers and people passionate about food. I hope you can stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. If you would like to contact the show, please phone 01 865 8020 or text 087 977 1032. When I think of Jamaica, a few things come to mind. White sandy beaches, reggae music and Jamaican jerk. Fragrant, savoury, sweet and tenaciously hot, jerk is a part of Jamaica's history and can be tracked back hundreds of years. My guest today has carried the culinary influences from his parents' Caribbean homeland to Ireland and is producing a jerk marinade here in Dublin. Alistair Munro, welcome to Food Talk.
Hi.
How long have you been in business?
We've been going for about a year now.
I've got a lovely jar here of Jamaican jerk light. So tell me, you've got light, you've got medium, and you've got bold.
Yeah.
What goes into a jar of Jamaican jerk?
Well, obviously we've got Scotch bonnets, pimento, there's nutmeg, scallions, ginger. Will I give you the whole lot?
And are these all, is this all food that grows in Jamaica?
Yes and no. Like, pimento would be one of the major factors, and that's grown in Jamaica. Yeah, and it's also grown in Mexico. So I think at the moment what we're trying to do, we're trying to make the product as authentic as we can. So we're actually importing the pimento from Jamaica.
Yeah. And you've got a lovely brochure here. We'll talk more about the actual jerk later, but I'm just fascinated by your imagery on your website and on this brochure I have here. And you tell me this is a picture of your grandmother.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you grew up in England, is that right?
That's right.
Did you know your grandmother?
Yeah, she's a major influence in us growing up as children.
And did granny live in England as well?
Yeah, she did, yeah.
She came to England?
Absolutely, yeah.
And were your parents born in England?
No, my parents were both born in Jamaica, and my dad first came over in 66, and then my mum followed shortly, and I think she was about 68, 69.
And then you were born in?
71.
In London?
In Luton.
In Luton, okay. And yeah. is there a big Jamaican community in Luton?
There would have been at the time. I don't know what it's like now, but at the time it was massive, absolutely.
And did you all live in the same house with your grandmother? Or?
No, my grandma came over from Jamaica and she would have lived with my uncle, who's also there on a brochure. Mm-hmm. He's a tall guy. She would have lived with him while she was kind of coming backwards and forwards to the UK. She would have lived in Jamaica predominantly at that time, but she'd come over to the UK and hang out.
Would she work in the UK?
No, at that point she'd obviously retired, and she'd just come over to visit the family. So she'd stay in my uncle's house, and then she'd come down and visit us in Luton, hang out with us for a while, especially over the summer holidays.
And is she your dad's mum?
No, she'd be my mum's mum.
Your mum's mum?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so there was your mum and these two boys here.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a picture of your mum with your grandmother, no?
No, I suppose that picture's a really old picture, and there wouldn't be that many pictures of my grandma, not in a situation like that anyway, so...
Is that a studio shot?
That's a studio shot, a classic studio shot, and what I like about it is the fact that the guys are so smart, so I'm sure that was taken on a Sunday afternoon, you know?
Yeah, no, they do. They look lovely. And so your grandmother was a great cook.
Of course she was, yeah.
And that's what got you interested.
Yeah, I suppose the way it would have worked would have been my grandma would have been in the kitchen preparing, and my mum would be there as well. And as children, we all helped, in the kitchen. I just remember, you know, the amount of love and energy that went into cooking. I suppose it just carried on through.
Yeah. And you like to cook yourself, because not all men like to cook. In Jamaica, do men like to cook?
Yeah, I mean, cooking is, for me personally, it's a really good way of relaxing. I mean, you don't have to be great at it, but it's definitely a good way of relaxing. And I suppose, obviously, growing up in a household where there was a lot of West Indian food being cooked, and it does take a lot of time, hence why I've kind of created this product. It just felt right.
Yeah, I suppose in the UK, you're surrounded by other West Indian people, and yeah. You've got all your ingredients, and it's probably a lot easier, is it, to make West Indian food over there?
Yes and no. I mean, to be honest with you, all the ingredients, it's very simple. It's just what goes into it. It's a lot of balance. And, you know, my background is based on, you know, maths and design and stuff. So I think the premise is pretty much the same in terms of, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that creates a whole recipe. To answer your question, all the properties are here. Like I said, the only thing that I was struggling with was one of the major parts was the pimento. Pimento in Ireland predominantly comes from Mexico, which is the other country that is produced in or grown in. So I kind of felt it was important for me to try and import it from Jamaica, which we have been doing from the very beginning.
Did you find it quite difficult, the transition from making something just for your own enjoyment at home to making something, producing for sale?
Oh, yeah, massively. Yeah, I suppose the major, I wouldn't say problems, but the major obstacles was trying to create something that had consistency. So obviously when you make it at home, it will vary from time to time. So I would have spent a lot of time getting the balance correct in order to put it out onto the market.
So all your recipes are very, very precise.
It's very tight. I mean, the good thing about our product is because it's, at the moment anyway, it's bespoke. It'd be done like in batches. So, you know, from time to time, you know, the pimento might be different or the Scotch bonnets might be different. But that's what I think gives it that authenticness. It's like anything that's produced at a very bespoke level. There's always going to be subtle changes. But the maths in terms of the volume and the weights that go into the making up of the marinade will always be the same.
Yeah. And so how many products do you have, Alison?
Well, at the moment, we have the light, medium, bold, which essentially is one product but in different heat. And then we have the ghost, which is another. I suppose that would be the same product again, but it's overwhelmingly hot.
The ghost?
So, yeah.
And what's the ghost? Why is it called the ghost?
Well, the ghost is just ridiculously hot, and the ghost would have originally started life as something that we were kind of playing about with. It was a bit of fun, but then we realised that a few people had kind of wanted for it, and so we ended up jarring a few to begin with, and now we're thinking about actually bringing it to market.
The ghost.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a really serious, full-on, able to take the maximum impact of
which is
spiciness.
Yeah, I'm laughing because we did a taste of Dublin, as I said to you, and we took the ghost thinking that the kind of customer that would be into the ghost would be, big, burly, kind of, you know, rugby dudes, you know. But it was, we couldn't have been so wrong. It was mainly women. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those. And we're not sure. I think I'm a little bit convinced that it's because we use a white label. But they could really take the heat. So I think women have a higher tolerance level for
heat.
You think
it's because there's, so you've got a grey label on
charcoal
on the jerk, and you've got a white label on
the ghost.
Ghost,
yeah,
because ghosts are white.
Yeah, that was originally the concept. In fact, it would have taken life. It would have started life as a charcoal background color with the ghost written in a percentage of that, so you could just about see the ghost. But we felt it was important that people really saw that it was ghost because it's phenomenally hot. So
it's interesting, isn't it, the psychology that, you know, different colors will attract people.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
And is it an awful lot hotter than the bold?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably about I'd say it's probably about 20 times hotter than the bold, if that's possible.
20 times
hotter. Just in terms of the fact that number one, we sell it in a smaller jar, And number two, I would have opened up a jar of Ghost maybe last year this time, and we're still going through it. So
wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I knew that's yourself at home with your family.
Yeah, it's ridiculously hot. But there's loads of flavours, and, you know, the premise is as long as there's flavours, we'll just keep making it hotter and hotter and hotter.
It sounds to me like this. It's so hot that I wouldn't be able to taste anything. Only heat, no?
No. I mean, look, it depends on how you do it. I mean, if you're going to dip your finger into it, then you're going to have a problem. But we tend to use it in stews and soups. So anything that's going to be cooked over a period of time. And also you're going to eat gently as opposed to something you're just going to, like, chomp on like a burger or okay. a piece of chicken. Mind you, I've seen people put it on chicken. It's not advisable because it's ridiculously hot.
Okay. So that'll be a niche market for the Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and so in terms of cooking with your marinades, so you mentioned soups, you mentioned stews, obviously marinades for meat.
Yeah.
Do you recipes, or have you collaborated here with anybody?
Yeah, we have actually. We did an event there last November, and it was just to say thank you to our stockists that we had up until that point, which was, I think, it was about 3 or 4. We now have 8, 9 nails, I think. Yeah, but it was just a little thank you, pre-Christmas kind of, let's celebrate Christmas with a bit of jerk, you know. So we got like a couple of chefs to come in and put their recipes together based on how they saw themselves using the jerk. So we had pork. It was cooked with pork. And it was also cooked with shrimps, so and served on, you know, very delicate kind of platters. So that's kind of interesting. Something I've never ever thought of myself. You know, just to clarify this, I'm not a chef. I came up with this marinade based on, you know, years and years of kind of notes and putting together something that I'd grew up with. So that's that. In terms of recipes and stuff, I've actually just gone out to people who do it as a living, chefs who've got great and wonderful ideas and all the little knacks that you need in terms of producing good food. And they've really been the people that have kind of pushed the levels of where we can actually take it.
And so when you've worked with these chefs, were these Irish chefs? Or?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
So was
yeah.
this where, like, Ireland meets Jamaica? Where were they coming from, more traditional chefing, you know, the recipe-wise, or were they basing it on... Because you would have marinated pork, would you, in Jamaica?
Yeah.
So were they completely new...
Well, I think...
New combinations that you hadn't experimented with yourself.
But bringing elements together that would remind you of the Caribbean. For example, I can't remember too much about what was going on with the pork, but there would have been something like a mango chutney to go along with that, which is perfect. The same as the shrimp, there would have been a kind of pineapple-y kind of puree that would have gone with that. So it was all based on the Caribbean, if you like, but then influenced by the culinary skills of, you know, the guys who are based here in Ireland, who, you know, could be perhaps considered world-class in terms of the education, in terms of how they put food together. It wouldn't just be predominantly Irish chefs producing Irish-style food with a bit of a Caribbean twist, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sounds like fun anyway, and it sounds like you're enjoying the journey.
Yeah, it's a great journey. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, because it is a journey.
Yeah, totally.
Now, along the journey, we're going to take a break for some music, and we're going to have some Otis Redding, as chosen by your good self. I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
I have tried.
Now, that was Otis Redding, and you're listening to The Food Talk Show. I'm Margaret Scully, and today I have in studio Alison Munro from Munro's Jamaican Jerk. Alison, we were just talking there, I suppose, about your journey and the journey of going into the food business and your journey to Ireland. What brought you here?
What brought me here?
What brought you to
Ireland?
That's
a long story.
Oh, go on, tell us a little bit of it.
An Irish girl, believe it or not.
An Irish girl, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you married an Irish girl?
Well, we're not married, but yeah, we, it was an Irish girl and long term, kind of.
And you've been here how long now?
17 years.
17 years.
Yeah.
And have you ever thought, oh, I'd like to move on somewhere else?
I think about that all the time, but no, I'm happy where I am at the moment. Like you said, I'm on a journey here, so just see where this takes me.
Yeah, and before you went on this food journey, you were on a design journey, really. You are a designer.
Yeah, yeah.
As is very obvious from your beautiful packaging, may I say.
Thank you very much.
It's got design stamped all over it. And I take it you designed every element of this, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would have had a couple of... how can I put it? A couple of... what's the word? People I would have gone to, put that way, to kind of give me direction or help with direction.
Okay.
So it was a process, if you like, where, you know, it took about 2 years to come up with overall look and feel. But I think it's kind of where it needs to be at the moment.
It's very stylish.
Thank you.
And it's in very nice shops as well in Dublin. You've got it in Black Pig in Donnybrook.
Yeah.
Ennis Butchers, Fallon and Byrne, The Food Room, Lilliput Stores, Liston's, Michael Byrne Butchers, Miller and Cook in Mullingar.
Yeah.
How's it going in Mullingar?
I'm not sure, but it's a lovely space, and I was very happy. In fact, a friend of mine got me into that space, Troy Maguire, who was one of the chefs I was telling you about earlier.
Yeah.
So he would have...
Troy was originally from Lugulton.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Troy Maguire is one of the chefs who was cooking with your Jackie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it was good to have, you know, chefs of that kind of calibre.
Absolutely.
Interest, as you know, right?
Yeah, no, and then Troy was down on the canal for a while as well. He had the place on the canal, Troy
that's
did.
Right. Yeah.
So he got you into Miller and Cook. Is Troy in Mullingar now, is he?
Well, I know he's, at the time he was consulting, so it was. I think he was helping to stock the shelves, if you like. So
okay,
he likes
good.
The product, and obviously he we've given it a go out there.
Excellent. And has your product been introduced to many chefs around town?
Well, that's part of the journey, I think. At the moment, what's happening, because it's a new business, our first year was just trying to get it into stores such as the ones you've just read out there. I suppose phase two now, which will take us into year two now, we'll just literally be getting it out to chefs, more chefs, if you like, to test it. Well, not to test it, but to create with it. Although it's a Jamaican product, I'd like to think that, you know, there's a whole wealth of uses for it in terms of it doesn't just have to be Jamaican cuisine.
And Troy, was he very inspired by it? And
I'll put it this way, he made a dessert out of it.
A dessert?
Yeah. We made a brownie out of it, which is kind of bizarre. But purely from the heat aspect of it. So it was very minimally used. I mean, it's one of those things where if we were going to use it again, then we'd actually tailor it to actually go into a brownie. But yeah, we made a brownie out of it, which was good.
So we're moving in the chilli chocolate kind of terrain, are we?
Absolutely. I mean, I love chocolate, and I'm sure a lot of people love chocolate, and it's definitely one of the areas where I can kind of see us going in the future.
And can you see yourself selling this in the UK?
Yeah, well, we have a flagship store in the UK currently.
And who's your flagship store in the UK?
Harrods have taken exclusive rights on it so far.
Harrods, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So does that mean they don't want you supplying it to anybody else in the UK?
Well, for the time being, which kind of suits us, because it just means we can carry on focusing on our Irish stockists and just rely on Harrods, if you like, at the moment to look after the UK for a limited time only, obviously.
That's very big for an Irish food producer to have Harrods as their stockist in the UK.
Yeah, well, like a friend of mine said to me, pointed it out to me a couple of weeks ago, you're an Englishman who's moved to, well, a Jamaican Englishman who's moved to Ireland who's now stocking, you know, Harrods, how did that work out? And I'm just like, I don't know. It's just one of those situations. You know, the product that we produce is very high-end, and that was always the brief to myself when I was creating a product. The reason why it's high-end is because we, you know, pride ourselves on really good ingredients, and there's a lot of time spent on putting it together. And then the look and feel kind of gives it that extra push as well. So although I'm honoured to be in Harrods, I wasn't surprised that, you know, somebody major like that would have shown us attention in terms of the design anyway. I mean, the fact that they like the taste of it.
And how did you meet them? Did you introduce yourself to them, or did they find you?
Well, to be honest with you, I think they found us. But, like, I will put my hand up and say, you know, if you're dealing with the likes of Harrods, I'm sure those guys will know exactly what time it is in terms of producers of products all around the world, if not Europe, anyway.
And how long has it been in Harrods?
Our first delivery was made back in July, so it's 3 or 4 months now.
And has it sold in Harrods?
Well, they're on a second order now. It's very small orders. Obviously, they're testing us to see how responsive and reactive we are. I have no faith. I have no problems in thinking that it's going to be fine.
And here in Dublin, you've got a fantastic list. We only got as far as Miller and Cook and Mullingar. And then I see Olive Deli in Skerries and 147 Deli in Parnell Street. Have you got your sights set on, say, Brown Thomas or the bigger stores here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I said, it's, you know, our first year was based on just trying to attract these people. We've done pretty well in our first year. I don't think we'd do as well. But yeah, in terms of the likes of Brown Thomas, yeah, we'd obviously put a structure together on trying to attract those guys. And then, yeah, there's a few other stores that we're currently looking at as well.
And what about any other products? Are you thinking of expanding your range?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, we want to... There's a whole host of stuff we want to look at doing, from burgers to sausages. I'm currently working on a chicken liver pate, perhaps looking at a duck pate for Christmas. So, yeah, we'd like to take the brand to the next level. Because I do design, obviously, it'd be nice to create a whole host of products to go with the branding.
So you're currently experimenting on new products all the time?
Absolutely.
At the moment as well, distributor-wise, you're working with Brendan O'Mahony, is it?
That's right, yeah.
And how does your product sit alongside the olives and the Mediterranean?
Yes, yeah, it's great. I mean, if anybody's going to take a risk on trying to do something different, it's definitely going to be Brendan. He stocks it in his store alongside all these the products you just mentioned there, like the olives and some of the really nice pâtés and...
Yeah, pestos.
Hummus and all.
He does a range of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so it sits next to that quite nicely. So it's just a case of testing the waters now and seeing...
And you give out tasters... does he give out samples on the stall and do people taste it?
No, not currently. But, you know, we did taste the Dublin and he got a couple of his chefs, if you like, to put together a few stews.
So you, coming from Jamaica, when you came to Ireland... How did you find the food here, Irish food?
Initially, I found it quite limited. But obviously, I've been here for 17 years now, so the whole country's changed in that time. There's a lot more action going on in terms of the kind of, the spectrum of food, if you like. I think Ireland's as good as anywhere else in the world right now. And but to answer your question, it's kind of mad you mentioned that, actually, because it makes me think about gruel. Do you remember gruel?
Yeah, I just walked past there last night.
They used to do a Jamaican jerk. I think it was Tuesdays they used to do. And Billy himself, Billy Scurry, he was another one of the chefs who actually...
I think it was trying gruel, was he?
I can't remember. Possibly, maybe before my time, I don't know.
I think so.
But Billy used to do the rice and peas and jerk chicken.
Is that the DJ, Billy Scurry?
Yeah. Yeah, I went down a couple of times. I was just blown away by the fact that I think anything went in grill. Like, some of the combinations were crazy. But the fact that they did West Indian food, it was brilliant. So, Although I'd like to say there was no offering. There actually was offering, but very limited at that time.
Gruel has probably gone 8 years now or something. It's gone a while. But it was a great place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Long live Gruel. Well, look, that's all we've got time for today, Alison. And thank you very much for coming in to see us in Dublin City FM.
Thanks for having me.
And best of luck with the business and with the future. And I hope you manage to get more investment and roll. Are you looking for investment?
Yes, but, you know, as things go on, we're just moving forward and seeing where we end up.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful product and best of luck with it. And if anybody listening wants to find out more about it, really, they can contact you via your website.
Yep, or they can talk to Brendan, of course.
Or talk to Brendan. So the website is munros.net. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
That's it. Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much to my guest, Alison Munro. And thank you for listening. And stay tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM. I'm Margaret Scully. And Food Talk will be back next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Until then, have a great week.